Hey, this is lesson number 8, part 2. Lesson number 8, part 2, going over the book of Genesis from chapters number 12 through 50. Again, we're going over our four patriarchs. Let's go over them. Number 1,
Abraham.
Number 2,
Isaac.
Number 3,
Jacob.
Number 4,
Joseph.
Okay, let's go over their wives. Abraham's wife was
Sarah.
Isaac's wife was
Rebecca.
Jacob's wife too.
Leah.
Good. And what kind of wife does Joseph have?
Gentile.
A Gentile bride. Okay, where did he marry her at?
Egypt.
In Egypt. That's right. Okay, in Egypt. All right, we're doing our threes. So our three main men of Genesis are
Adam,
Noah, and Abraham. Make sure you memorize those. Adam, Noah, and Abraham. What's unique is that each of them have how many sons?
Three.
Abraham has a son, a grandson, and a great-grandson of sorts, but that's just the same framework. That's all I want you to see. Who was Melchizedek? Okay. Right, so he's the king of Salem. That's the most important thing for you to remember. He's the king of Salem. Salem is Jerusalem. Okay, it's pre-Jerusalem. That's the capital of Israel. Of course, it's not Israel yet, right? But that's the same geographical location. Melchizedek blesses Abraham, and Abraham ties to Melchizedek. And we said last Monday that he's either Christ, pre-incarnate Christ, or a picture of Christ. He has no beginning, and he has no end. He's mentioned, write this down please, in Psalm 110 and in the book of Hebrews. Melchizedek is mentioned in Psalm 110 and the book of Hebrews. What is exceptionally interesting about Melchizedek, you need to write this down, is that Jesus is said to be a priest in the order of Melchizedek. Let me slow that down. Jesus is said to be a priest in the order of Melchizedek. All other priests, and just listen, you don't have to write this down, all other priests come from the lineage of Aaron. All right, Aaron is Moses' brother. Aaron is Moses' brother. All the Levites come from Aaron. Jesus is not after the order of Aaron. The book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. Melchizedek is mentioned in Psalm 110 and Hebrews. Okay. Abraham has two sons. They are?
Isaac and Ishmael.
Right. Abraham has two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. Abraham has two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. Okay? Isaac is the, write this down, the child of promise. Isaac is the child of promise. Abraham received a covenant from God or a promise from God. The promise included three things: land, people, and blessing. Land, people, and blessing. You should write that down. You should write Abraham covenant, land, people, and blessing. Genesis chapter number 22 was the historical record of Abraham offering up Isaac as a sacrifice. Do you remember that?
Yes.
God in the end sends a ram to take the spot. Genesis chapter number 23, Sarah dies, and now it's time to make sure that Isaac has a wife. Why is it so important that Isaac has a wife? Why is that so important? Yeah, you got to have children. Okay, the idea of Isaac not getting married and remaining a bachelor is out of the question. Okay, you're going to get married. We're going to find you a good wife and get busy. Okay, that's the basic idea. That everybody gets married. You need to get married. And that's part of being in God's people. So Isaac marries who?
Rebecca.
Isaac marries Rebecca. Now you've got two R's, so you need to keep them separate in your mind. Jacob marries Rachel. So Rebecca is Jacob's mother. All right. Rebecca gets pregnant and they have
Jacob and Esau.
Jacob and Esau. Okay. Again, write that down. Rebecca gets pregnant and they have Jacob and Esau. Who is the firstborn?
Esau.
Esau is the firstborn. He's basically dad's favorite and Jacob is
mom's favorite.
That's basically how it works out. Two children. So again, let's go to our board. Abraham, two children, I and I. Who's the first one?
Ishmael.
Second is?
Isaac.
Different mothers. Right? Different mothers. Isaac's wife, Rebecca, gets pregnant and has twins.
Esau and Jacob.
Okay? Esau is the firstborn. Esau should be the descendant. The bloodline map should go Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. That's how it should go. We should be talking about Esau as a patriarch. But we're not talking about Esau as a patriarch. And the reason is because he lost or sold the blessing or the birthright. What did he sell it for?
Food.
A pot of beans. A little bit of venison. Some type of stew. What is that a picture of? Is that really all about a pot of stew? Or what is that really a picture of? Any ideas? Any ideas?
How God, when you, like He feeds you, like you don't.
No, it's very spiritual. It's saying that Esau didn't care about this lineage thing. It wasn't a big deal to him that he was a child of Abraham, that he was a grandson. It wasn't a big deal to him. It wasn't a big deal that his dad was the child of promised to Abraham. And that God was going to take Abraham and turn him into a people of many nations or many people as the stars of the sea and the sky and the sands of the beach. That wasn't that important to Esau. Esau didn't care about that. Who instead cared about it?
Jacob.
Jacob didn't care about it. Now, who was the influencer behind this?
His mom.
Mom, right. Mom is in there. And this creates a huge divide between Esau and Jacob that takes a long time before it heals. Okay. So Jacob gets the birthright. Dad is now dying. Isaac is now dying. And Esau wants a blessing and he doesn't have a blessing for him. Turn your Bibles to Genesis 32. Genesis 32. Everyone turn to Genesis 32. This is the first mention, Genesis 32:28 is the first mention of what? Look at the verse and tell me what is the first mention I'm at. Right, read verse 28, Matt. 32:28.
And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.
Okay, has prevailed. Where did he prevail with? What was the prevailing all about? Look at the previous verses. What's going on here? Jacob has this amazing encounter in which he's wrestling with an angel from God. Verse 24 says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and a hole of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou what?
Bless me.
So Jacob, has a firm faith that God is the one that blesses. That God is in charge. That God is the sovereign. that he's not going to make it without a blessing from God. That God, so he says, I'm not going to let you go, God, the angel of God, the messenger of God, until you what? Until you bless me. You are the one that provides blessing. You gave a blessing to my grandfather.
Abraham.
You gave a blessing to my father.
Isaac.
And I want the same
blessing.
I want the same promise. You promised Abraham land, people, posterity, or blessing. You promised Isaac the exact same covenant to Abraham, to Isaac. And now what's he say?
I want
the same covenant, Lord. I want the same blessing. And so does he receive it?
Yes.
He says in verse 28, and he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou prevailed with God and with man, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask my name? So that's Old English. Why are you asking? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place P-E-N-I-E-L, Peniel, for, and so Peniel obviously is a Hebrew word there, a transliteration for us. For what does it say? Now that's wild. I've seen God face to face. Who did he wrestle with? Okay, who is the angel of the Lord in the Bible? The angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord. Not a angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord. Pre-incarnate Christ. Pre-incarnate Christ.
Melchizedek.
It could be. We're not sure about Melchizedek, but what's he say right here? I have seen God. How?
Face to face.
Now, when God the Father, when Moses wanted to see God the Father, what did God tell Moses? You can't see it. Hide behind the bush. You'll see the hinder part. But wait a minute. In this case, Jacob says, I saw God. How? So did he see God the Father? The answer is no. Who did he see then? God the Son. Because there's nothing in the Bible that says you can't see God the Son. Lots of people saw God the Son. He was on the earth for 40 years. 30 years, rather. We believe he died between 30 and 33. So lots of people saw God the Son. Moses wants to see God, and God the Father says, you can't see me. You can't see me. So obviously, this is another example of pre-incarnate Christ. Pre-birth, experiencing a time to see God. And so as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose up against him and he halted upon his thigh. So what does that mean, he halted upon his thigh? What does that mean? Limping. Okay, he's limping. Okay. Therefore the child of Israel, eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. So now there's this custom that Jews won't eat this part of a body part because of any animal, because God touched Israel or Jacob at that spot. So at this point, Jacob moves on, gets married, and has lots of children. How many boys?
12.
That's right, 12. From four different wives. Four, Felix. Four wives. Okay, not one, not two, but four different wives. The two that I want you to remember all the time are
Leah
and
Rachel.
That's right, Leah and Rachel. And if my memory serves me right, Rachel produces two of them and Leah four. Okay? And then handmaids come up with the other six. Okay? Jacob's new name is
Israel.
And the 12 tribes of Israel now come from Jacob. Okay? That's supposed to be 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Who's the 12th? Benjamin. Benjamin is the 12th. Okay? Who's the 11th?
Joseph.
That's right. Joseph. Mom for Joseph and Benjamin is?
Rachel.
Now we're getting an idea of why there's this bias going on in the family dynamics. Because Israel, remember, Leah's fat, ugly, buck tooth, okay? That's just the reality, sorry. Okay? All right, that's just the truth. I mean, not much to look at. Obviously a hard worker, and she sure can produce babies. Other than that, that's it. Rachel's beautiful. Okay, braces, the whole works, man. You know, every bit of it, okay? That's Rachel. So, her babies become the favorite children because that's my favorite wife. Are you following me? That's the dynamic that's going on. This is very complicated. It gets very complicated when you have four wives. Okay? Turn over to Genesis 35. Turn over to Genesis 35, please. And you will need to mark this in your Bible, so turn there. Genesis 25. 35, yes. All right, now what we're looking at in this section of Scripture here are the children. The children. We are looking at the children. What children? The children of Israel, Jacob's descendants. Now let's look through here and begin identifying some names of the tribes. All right, and Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the Tower of Edar, and it came to pass when Israel dwelt there in the land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard of it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. Now here they come. Yes.
Is this in 35?
Yeah.
What verse?
22. Genesis 35:22. Okay. Now verse 23. Sons of Leah. Reuben. Jacob's what?
Firstborn.
So who's the very first tribe?
Reuben.
Okay. I'm not going to make you memorize all 12. You're just going to have to know the key ones. Okay. So who's the first?
Reuben.
All right. Simeon, and then Levi, and then what?
Judah.
Okay. And Issachar and Zebulun. So it looks to me like, I guess I made a mistake earlier, it looks to me like she has six. The sons of Rachel are?
Joseph and Benjamin.
Okay. So now we're up to how many?
Eight.
The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaiden, are Dan and
Naphtali.
That's two more. The sons of Zilpha, Leah's handmaiden, are who?
Gad and Asher.
Okay, so, again, let's look at this family dynamic. This is pretty bizarre. Okay, we put Jacob up here. New name is what?
Israel.
Divide up the wives. Leah on this side, Rachel on this side. And then each of them have a what?
A handmaiden.
So this is basically like their personal servant. And then Isaac has relationships with all four of them. So they're all there. And then you got basically half brothers along here. Does that make sense to everyone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Leah picks up how many?
Six.
Handmaid picks up
two.
Rachel picks up
two.
Handmaid picks up
two.
So six plus two is?
Eight.
And two more?
Ten.
And two more?
12.
For a total of 12. And then we've got some daughters in there. Okay? That are just not mentioned in the same way, with the same level of significance. Okay? All right, any questions about Jacob at this point? So what I want you to remember about Jacob is that he is Israel. That he received the same blessing that Abraham received, the same blessing that Isaac received. He is the father of the 12 tribes. Okay? All right, let's spend the rest of our class talking about our final patriarch, who is?
Joseph.
Very good. By the way, let's back up and put insert right in here. This name right here. Judah. What's the significance of Judah? Anyone?
Lower kingdom.
Lower kingdom. The southern kingdom. Right. And that little minor detail you just said about saving Joseph. But the big thing I want you to know about Judah, is of all the 12 tribes, Judah is the largest. Judah is the largest. And Jesus is a descendant of the tribe of Judah. Jesus is a descendant of the tribe of Judah. Okay. Hey, don't write anything down. Just look at the dry erase board. Let's back up and do a little refreshing. Abraham. Go this direction. Ishmael on the top. Isaac on the bottom. Mom is Hagar. Mom is
Sarah.
Very good. From this one, from Isaac. Okay, just pay attention. Everyone pay attention. From Isaac, we're going to go again.
Rachel.
Esau.
Jacob.
Same mom because they are
brothers.
Twins. Right. And this is?
Rachel.
Rebecca. Okay? Rebecca. Okay? Again, we're knocking off Esau. I mean, Ishmael. We're knocking off Esau. We're going to go down here to?
Jacob.
Let's go up like this. We'll go to the first wife.
Leah.
Last wife.
Rachel.
Pick up a handmaiden here. Put an H for handmaiden. We don't need to know her name. An H for handmaiden right here. Who is the very first son?
Reuben.
Very good. After Reuben, we're going to go down for six more. Right? Six more. Here we have two. Come down to Rachel. I want you to pick up the names now.
Joseph
and
Benjamin.
Very good. Okay? Everyone following? Okay? So that's how you have to see it fall out. That's your entire book of Genesis. The last thing we do with Joseph, Joseph picks up an Egyptian wife and has two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Okay? And this is a Gentile bride. Okay? This is a Jewish woman. These are all descendants of Abraham, either directly or indirectly. But wait a minute. These are Jewish women. Come over to here. We're down in Egypt and we pick up a Gentile bride. Rachel is Jacob's favorite wife. Joseph is the favored son. Joseph is the son that receives a coat of many colors. We don't know whether it actually had colors or whether it was just a fancy garment or better than everyone else's. I was looking for my glasses. There they are. Joseph has two dreams. They are bizarre dreams. What's the significance of the dreams? Somebody tell me. Right. How many brothers does he have?
11.
He has 11 brothers. Then dad. He has two wild dreams, and in these dreams, he sees his dad and his brothers bowing down before him. Should have kept the dreams to himself, but he's a typical teenager, gets on Facebook, starts letting the whole world know about the dreams that he had. Okay? Brothers are not happy with the fact that he, remember, he's the 11th son. So he's the baby in the family. By this time, a guy like Reuben is an adult. Right? 11 children. And you're telling me that I'm going to bow before you, snot-nosed punk? Right? That's the dynamic that's going on here. Okay? What happens? Dad sends Joseph out to check on his herds, the cattle, the family, and the brothers say, we will take care of him. How do they mean by take care of him? We're going to kill him. Right. We're going to kill him. Okay? And then we will get our conscience bothers us, and so we choose not to do that. Instead, they throw him in a pit, leave him to dead. They're going to bring to dad some blood, something on there, right? Look, you're dead. He's dead. We found this clothing. Is this? Dad gets all sad. Oh, this was my son. He's gotten tore up by a wolf or a lion or some wild animal. And then one of the brothers' conscience starts bothering him. And they go back and pull him out of the pit and does what with him? Reuben, right. Okay. The firstborn, he's the oldest, more mature, probably has the greatest sense of responsibility. Pulls him out and sells him to some slave traders who take him to
Egypt.
Take him to Egypt. All right. In Egypt, who hires him?
Potiphar
hires him. Okay. Potiphar seems to be a wealthy government official. Potiphar, evidently, his wife is not content with what her husband provides. Here's a young Joseph in the house, probably a chest like this girl's, waist real small, pecs everywhere. Joseph was evidently the man because Potiphar's wife wants to sleep with him. Okay? Joseph runs away from the sin. She snatches some kind of garment. Now she's got proof that he was in the bedroom. Potiphar comes home. She shows proof that he was in the bedroom, and Potiphar has no choice but to put him away. Joseph finds himself now in prison. Okay, asks for his one phone call. Oh, that's right, you don't get phone calls in those days. And there are no defense attorneys. There's no hope for Joseph. He's in prison, and at this point, he's probably thinking, I'm going to spend the rest of my life in prison. Remember, there's no justice system like today. There's no courts to go appeal to. Who put you in prison? Somebody. A judge, a ruler. And when do you get out? When he says so. Jury of your peers, all that stuff, non-existent. In prison now, we're in prison. This is very important for you to grab a hold of. The baker from Pharaoh gets put in there. The butler from Pharaoh gets put in there. All right. So the cupcakes weren't quite right on any given day. Off to prison for you. The wine didn't taste right. Off to prison to you. In prison, Pharaoh's servants have some dreams. You remember that? The butler has a dream. The baker has a dream. And they go to Joseph and they say, this is my dream. He says, hey, it's good for you. Not so good for you. You're going to get beheaded. Life stinks for you. You're going to get released back to Pharaoh. When you get released back to Pharaoh, what's he tell him?
Remember me.
Tell him about innocent Joseph down here in prison. He gets released. Does he tell him about him?
No,
he doesn't.
Years
later. One bad night, Pharaoh has these terrible
dreams.
Okay, about famine, about skinny cows eating fat cows. It doesn't make sense. It's strange. It's weird. Pharaoh wakes up, calls for his wise men. Can they interpret it?
No.
No one can interpret the dreams, and so God sovereignly keeps everyone stupid so that eventually Pharaoh says, right, but who remembers?
The butler
says, hey, when I was in prison, this guy interpreted dreams and it turned out just the way he said. Bring him up. So he calls Joseph out. Pharaoh lays out the dream before him, and Joseph interprets it perfectly. Okay? It says famine's coming. You got 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine. During the 7 years of plenty, let's stockpile in preparation for the famine. Pharaoh says, is there anybody wiser than this guy in the kingdom? His conclusion is no. You're in charge. And we're going to call Joseph's position prime minister. Prime minister is the number two in charge. Okay? The number two in charge does a great job preparing for the famine. All right, let's fast forward 7 years, 8 years, 9 years into, now we're into the famine. Up there in the promised land, Canaan, Joseph's dead, as far as everybody knows, right? Okay, Joseph's dead. We're starving to death up here. We heard that down in Egypt there's plenty of grain. Take some of our precious valuables. Go down to Egypt and purchase some food. We go down there and immediately Joseph recognizes his brothers. He puts him to a test and asks about which one?
Benjamin. Ask about Benjamin. Why is Benjamin so important to Joseph?
He's only younger brother.
His younger brother and his only full brother. They have the same mother. So he's real special. They go back and say, hey, the guy down there in Egypt won't let us, thinks that we're spies. Benjamin's got to go down. How's Dad feel about letting Benjamin go?
Not
good at all. What motivates him to eventually send him? Starvation. They're starving. We need some food. They go down there. They get it. Eventually, what happens? All the entire family relocates down to Egypt. And God takes care of Israel down in Egypt with Joseph in the prime minister position. And then when we open up the book of Exodus, next time we get together, we open with a new Pharaoh. Joseph dies, Jacob dies, and a new Pharaoh, and that's why life changes for Israel.